We offer a warm welcome to each of you to our Christian Crusaders Palm Sunday worship service. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Where do we go for help when the conflicts of life come in upon us? Is there a haven of rest? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh upon him and to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 26th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 36. We have now entered the Holy Week, and we know that it'll be torturous times for our Lord. Here we see him in Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. The Gospel of our Lord. In Christ. Where do I go for help when life confronts me with trying circumstances? No one knew the answer to that better than our Lord Jesus Christ. There were times when Jesus wanted to be with the crowds of people. There were other times when he wanted to be with his own adoptive family, the disciples, nobody else. There were times when he wanted to be with just three of those of the 12 adopted, the small group. But there was a time when Jesus wanted to be alone with his heavenly Father. He wanted a sanctuary. And on the occasion that we have before us in the text today, his sanctuary was the Garden of Gethsemane. Now stop and ask yourself a question. Do you have a sanctuary? A place where you can go and like to be there just alone with the Lord? It may be your bedroom. It may be a family room. Maybe it's a study where you're alone, no one else. In our church buildings, we have fellowship halls. We have youth rooms. We have committee rooms. We have classrooms. And some are now building or have already done so beautiful gymnasiums. And this is as it should be. There's a place for each one of these activities in the church. But we need more than anything else in our church, a sanctuary. Or, if you prefer the term worship center, that's all right. It means practically the same thing. It's an area that has been consecrated, has been set aside. It is where the word can be preached, where praises can be sung, and where personal opinions are kind of out of the way. For now you're going to have a talk, and you're going to have a talk with the Lord. In the church that I served for so many years, we had a chapel. It seated about 150 people, so it was a little large for just a private meditation. But it was not seldom during my ministry there that I would go into the chapel and would share it with somebody else, someone who had come there just to worship and to pray, to listen to God as he spoke to them through the Word. We never spoke to one another in that chapel. Had we gone out of the door together, we might have spoken in the corridor, but not in the sanctuary. We need a sanctuary. And that is what our Lord is telling us in our text today. He left the upper room where he was with the 12, well, minus Judas after he had left. There they were together. But now when he got to the sanctuary, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was just the Lord and Jesus himself. Now then, what happened when they got there? You can ask the question, where did Jesus go when his heart was heavy? For in our text today it says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." There you see, he had experienced all kinds of trials and tribulations that were burdening him to the nth degree. What were the burdens that he carried? Well, obviously, he's a human being, and he knows that before him stands a cross. Before him, we know there is a crucifixion. Before him, we know that there is all kinds of suffering and torturous moments. But there was not only the physical. There was also the spiritual, the indifference of people. I once heard one of the colleagues on our staff here at Nazareth Church say that he felt that Jesus suffered more on the Mount of Olives as he looked out over the indifferent people and saw that they did not care too much about what he was saying, that he suffered more there than he actually did when he hanged on that cross with a crown of thorns on his head and blood going down the side of his face. There is such a thing as an emotional suffering that penetrates anything that the physical can ever understand. Where do we go, friend, when we have our moments that the heart is heavy? Today we may call that a depression, or we may say that we are not quite up to par, our dauber is down, or whatever else it may want to be. Where do you go? Where is your Gethsemane? Where is your sanctuary? Is it a particular place in your life? Maybe this is insignificant, but it is not for me. I believe that there has to be a place. It can vary from time to time. But in the routine of life, I need to have my place to which I can retreat. I recall when I was a seminary student, as we got along in our theological education, we would begin to make more trips to the private chapel on the seminary campus. It was a small one. I think perhaps it could have been 9 people in it if you really put them all in there very, very close to one another. It was at that seminary chapel that often we would find ourselves alone with God as we were battling out some of these big things that pertained to the ministry that was before us. I recall one night, my roommate had been over in the chapel for a long, long time. His heart was heavy. He was battling out with God where he should spend his life in the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. And finally, when he came into the room in the wee hours of the morning, he awakened me and he said, "I've had a glorious time. I've been over in the chapel. And I have finally concluded that it is a will of God, as he has spoken to me through his word, that I am to spend my life in Japan." And that's exactly what that man did. His entire ministry, except for furloughs and coming home and getting a little more education and rest, he spent it all right there. It was battled out in a sanctuary. Very, very important. Where do I go when my heart is heavy? I go to my Gethsemane. I go to the sanctuary. I go to the worship center, whatever you may want to call it. but there you're alone with God. Where do I go when my mind is confused? You notice what Jesus says in this portion of Scripture? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Here you see the humanness of Christ. If it is possible, Lord, if you can work it out in some way that I don't have to go to the cross, I would appreciate it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The old church father Tertullian has said something that is kind of interesting. He said, I believe that it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his sanctuary, that Jesus was learning to know what he could not understand. Isn't that an interesting statement? Jesus was learning to know what he could not understand. It just didn't make much sense. If it was the Father's will that he should go to that cross, so be it. Then he would go. There must have been some confusion there. Stop and think of it. This is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. We say he is true God. He is also true man. You see, he has been in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And a part of that whole matter of suffering was a confusion of the mind, not knowing quite which way he was to go. Well, where do you go when your mind is confused? To the same place that you went when your heart was heavy, right? We need to go to a place where we're alone with God and try to make some understanding, rational understanding, of what is happening round about us. A young person with life before him or her can be asking the question, I'm really quite confused. I don't know just what to do. I want to do the will of God. And I tell you, people, never sell these young people short. They're really asking that question today as they have never asked it before. What do you want me to do, God? When I was in college, right after World War II, it was very evident what most of us wanted, or what most of those who are in the colleges wanted. They wanted a place where they could earn a good living. Some of them wanted to become very wealthy. It was pretty much centered on the self. Today, I'm sure that there is still plenty of that around because human nature doesn't change that much. But I think we can go on to say that it is also true that in our day and age, there are those who are really seeking out, as I have never seen them seek out before, the will of God and where he really wants me to be. I see that same thing when it comes to this matter of a person who is in the midst of raising their children. We have small groups in our church, and when I listen to some of the things that come out of there, and how these people are agonizing over how they can best raise these children. Are we making some mistakes? How could it be better? What should we do differently? They're agonizing. And if I talk to some of you today, then I would hurry on to say, learn from Jesus that you need a Gethsemane. You need a place where you can go and pray the same prayer as he prayed. God, help me to make sense out of all of this. Will you please? I don't understand how I can possibly raise that child in this chaotic generation with drugs and alcohol and sex and everything else around. It doesn't make sense how you can even begin to do it. But Lord, if you will give me guidance, I want to be your servant there. Here's a relative or a friend who gives no evidence of being saved at all. And you're utterly concerned about that person because you love him or her. And you want them to be with you for all eternity in heaven. But if the scriptures are true and their statements are right, then they say they reject it all, and you are concerned. Father, my mind is confused. Can you help me? Where do you go? You go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Where do you go when your body is tired? Where do you go to get renewed strength? You can't quit. You can't stop here in a spiritual battle of life. Can't throw in the towel. And yet you know within you, regardless of what all is being said today about, yes, you can do it if you want to, you're emotionally fatigued. You face all the questions of life. Well, that's what our Lord was facing too, as he went back to see the disciples for just a moment. He could see that they were sleeping. They were exhausted. They had been emotional times. What was going to happen next? They weren't quite sure. But then Jesus just let them sleep on. And he went back into that inner garden again. And he said, finally, it's your will, God, and I'm on my way. So as he passed the three disciples who had gone with him, Peter, James, and John, he said, get up now, let's go. It was just like he had renewed strength. And from that moment on, a person who had been so depressed, if we want to use human language, a person who was so confused could suddenly be the pillar of strength. Our Lord Jesus Christ had received strength from his Father. He understood the meaning of the psalmist's words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Let's get on with this matter. If it's to the cross that I am to go, then to the cross I am willing to go, and I am willing to go right now. I tell you, friend, it is in that sanctuary that you and I receive that necessary strength, the time out for the final minute of play is sought right there in the sanctuary. Are you emotionally tired? Are you wondering, can I make it another day? It's not always tiredness from the physical point of view, it's from the emotional point of view. So you go to the sanctuary, and there you get encouragement, and there you get freshness. It's in our Gethsemane that we find the Lord Jesus Christ standing there, anxious to deal with us in whatever capacity we find ourselves to be. It was in Gethsemane that Jesus received peace, direction, and strength for his God-given mission. And my friend, I want you to know that that same Lord meets us in our sanctuaries to give us these same blessings of peace and direction and strength. So can it be that we will find our Gethsemane in these days of Holy Week. We have entered into the Holy Week. I'm going to ask you, will you take your Bibles during this Holy Week? Will you turn to the last three chapters of Matthew? Will you read them carefully, meditate upon them? Just see how Jesus goes through it all to the cross and then on to that glorious resurrection, which we shall celebrate next Sunday. And then a little bit later on after that, to the great commissioning of his disciples to be disciples of all the nations. Take your Bible, spend some time with it this week. Please do that. And then you will be able to have a glorious Easter with great meaning to you. It will be a happy day, for you know that in him there is a peace which passes all understanding. Amen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day, I take across thy shadow for my abiding.
Lord Jesus, you are our Savior and our Lord, and we shall see how once again you made it possible for us to have the forgiveness of sin through your suffering and your death. We thank you that we shall anticipate all during this week in a very special way, your resurrection. And we shall know that you are the living Christ, the one who walks with us, and the one who sustains us in all kinds of circumstances. But we also pray that as we live with you in these closing moments of your life, that we may understand that we have so much to learn from you. If we can use human terminology, you can even be our role model. So because your heart was heavy, because your mind was confused, because your body was really suffering from tiredness, you needed a sanctuary. Grant that we may sense that we need one too, Lord, and that we may come and find you there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message gave you insight into the word of our Lord and help for living the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by our faithful listening family. We depend on your financial support to pay our monthly bills to radio stations. If you have never given a gift, please prayerfully consider it this week. Perhaps you have a friend or relative in your area who has never heard the Easter story. We ask you to encourage that person to tune in next week to hear Pastor Larson preach the Easter message. It is our mission to share the gospel message to all who would listen. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.